We are looking at Surah Saba, which is the 34th Surah of the Noble Quran. We looked at the virtues and the bounties that Allah Rabbul Izzah had granted to Sayyidina Dawood, Sayyidina Sulaiman. Then there's mention of the people of Saba, which is lived under Bilqis, some say. We mentioned the entire story of the various bounties that they were granted and how ungrateful they were, and they were eventually destroyed. Speaking about this conduct of being ungrateful and doing what results in destruction, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Rabbul Izzah says that Iblis certainly found his expectations about them to be true. So all of them followed him besides a group of the believers. On the first day of man's creation, Shaitan, the rejected one, predicted and he said, لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I will subdue his progeny except a few. And he also said, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I will come to them from behind them, from the right side, from the left side, and you will find that majority of them will not be grateful. So Shaitan's effort against man is to make him ungrateful to Allah. And the epitome of ungratefulness is kufr and disbelief in Allah. Now, Shaitan wants to sway man. He wants to move you from the path, and that is so that you can follow his path. That is his objective. But we need to take solace from what Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَمَا كَانَ لَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. He had no power over them. He cannot wield any power over them. The only reason for the sway is that Allah has given him them, but إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَا يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ مِمَّنْ هُوَ مِنْهَا فِي الشَّكِ. Allah has given him the sway so that Allah might come to know, meaning it become manifest, who believes in the year after from him who doubts. So this entire process of Shaitan swaying man, testing man, is a test from Allah. So you have right and wrong, and then you get tested and you see who can get the answer right. If there was only right in this world wouldn't be a test. So at all times, when you're doing your business, there will be temptations. Quick buck here on the side. What if I pay some sort of a bribe and I can get the tender? If I'm willing to grease the palm, I'll get my work done quickly. All of that is a test from Allah. If I open this overdraft, I can generate some cash revenue and that can take me forward in my business. So these are tests that we have to endure on a daily basis, which Shaitan brings about. Allah has granted every person the choice to do good or to do evil. Man is tested by the instigations of Shaitan. In this manner, Allah tests the iman of every person. Sayyidina Adam was sent into this world, and Allah Rabbul Azza says that we said, Fahbitu, go down from here, one and all. And if there ever comes to you any guidance from me, then whoever will follow my guidance shall have no fear, neither shall they grieve. And those who disbelieve and falsify, they will be the dwellers of Jahannam. So as we came into this world, we were brought with us this choice. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam frequent this world to remind man about Allah Rabbul Izzah, and they even displayed various miracles. And this manner, people had no choice but to accept the teaching of the Anbiya. Despite all of this, there were many who doubted, and then they did not believe, and they failed. Although Shaitan has power to persuade man, these powers are limited. Shaitan cannot force you. The final choice rests with you. And that is why you will answer for your own decision. When you make a decision, the decision ends with you. That is where the buck stops. وَرَبُّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَفِيذٍ. And your sustainer is watchful over everything. The sustainer is watchful over everything. Nothing happens without his command and without him giving the go ahead. Allah Rabbul Izzah then continues by saying to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلِ ادْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Call those whom you worship besides Allah. Allah Rabbul Izzah tells the unbelievers, call those whom you worship. If you do so, you will discover that when you look at what is these people worshipping, you'll come to the conclusion that those whom they worship, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكِ وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ. Those whom these people worship, they have no control over an atom's weight in the heavens or in the earth. They do not even share any partnership in the heavens or the earth. None of them have any assistance to Allah. These gods have no say in the creation of Allah and the preservation of Allah's creation. So this is the address to the polytheists of Mecca, to whom the story of Saba was related. It serves as a warning. In times of need, you should call upon those being apart from Allah, whom you consider to have a share in the divinity of Allah. Call them. Let's see, when you have drought, call them. Let's see what happens. Is your drought removed? No, not at all. It remains. And these whom you call upon, they will not assist you. The mushrikeen had this notion that the gods will intercede for them in Allah's court. Allah Rabbul Izzah debunk that. How can these poor things, which do not even have a control over an atom in the heavens, avail you in any way? In fact, these idols cannot avail themselves. There's no partnership. Therefore, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, speaking about these idols, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. Intercession cannot benefit in Allah's presence except for the one whom Allah permits. Even the likes of Sayyidina Isa and Sayyidina Uzair alayhimus salatu wasalam, and the angels of all of whom are regarded by these people as deities, they cannot intercede on behalf of the perpetrator of shirk. And speaking about the intercession of the angels, Allah Rabbul Izzah says that حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَالُوا مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. The condition of the angels are such that they will not dare say one thing out of line, out of respect. And Allah describes the epic scene when an injunction is given by Allah. What happens? The angels start making tasbih, those carrying the throne, and they make a noise to such an extent that it's like a noise of chains being dragged on a smooth stone. Some of the angels are so overawed by Allah's command that they fall unconscious, and then they regain their consciousness, and then they ask. So when that command is given, they are overawed. They are filled with fear. They start beating and clapping their wings, and that noise then echoes and resonates through the heavens. And when their fear then comes down, they then start asking each other, مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. What has our Rabb said? قَالُ الْحَقِّ. They say that our Rabb, the Almighty, He speaks the truth. Whatever He said is the truth. And then they say, قَالُ الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. And He is the exalted and the great. This is the reverence, this is the respect, this is the overwhelming condition of the angels when it comes to Allah issuing command. The angels, they respond to the command in Allah, of Allah in this way. And this in itself is a lesson for us. The angels, they respond. To what extent should we take the command of Allah seriously? Sometimes people say, no, it's just a nafil, or it's just a sunnah, it's not a fard. Yet it's been mentioned in the Quran, like Allah has told us, lower your gaze, yet we are negligent, yet we do not respond to that in a way that we ought to respond. So, when that command is given to us, and we are told, lower your gaze, we are told, abandon riba, we are told, establish the laws of parda and hijab, then how should we respond? Think about the angels, how they respond, and look at where are we. May Allah make us from those who submit to His command.